within us. We have Christ interceding for us in heaven. We have a Father looking over us that approves of things in our life. We have a Father that's just waiting for the right time to send His Son back to us to take us to be with Him forever. So we have a lot of things to look forward to. But to be honest with you, there's another ministry of the Lord that I think is really interesting, and that is He's the high priest. Very interesting throughout the Old Testament. God's a God of order, and He does everything in order. Regardless of man who likes to be in disorder, God does everything in order. We've been watching the corn grow in our backyard, or next to our backyard. And, you know, it started out as a seed that was put into the ground and it began to grow. Now it's taller than me. And, you know, it gets to a certain height that stops growing. You say, well, how's it do that? Because it's programmed in the seed. It's going to grow so high, it's going to have tassels and the ears are going to form. And then the grains of corn will be able to begin to form in those ears. And if you have the, and then eventually it's harvested and used for all kinds of purposes. But the issue is, every time you plant that grain of corn in the ground, and every time you have the rain and everything else you need, it's going to do the same thing every time. Every single time. And God is just showing us that He's a God of order. And He showed us in the Old Testament how to approach Him. And He started out, you come in the gate, but you do not come in the gate without a sacrifice. And you would bring that sacrifice to the brazen altar, and it would be sacrificed there in place of the sins of the person that brought it. And that blood eventually entered up into the Holy of Holies. It's really quite interesting. And it was blood throughout, blood from the brazen altar into the holy place, and then into the Holy of Holies, and the presence of God was there. And He shows us then there's light in there, there's a lamp that's lit by the olive oil, and that lamp was the only light in the tabernacle. There wasn't any other light in there, just that lamp. And the picture was that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And so that lamp there represented Christ, who's always burning, continuously burning, continuously showing the light. And then there was a table over here that had bread on there. It was called the showbread. And that bread represented the Word of God. And also Jesus, because Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Really interesting. Everything about the tabernacle was about Jesus. And sometime, even the walls of the tabernacle represented Christ. And the white cloth fence around it represented Christ. And the white represented His righteousness. And when we get to heaven, we will have white robes that are representing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a total gift from Him to us. You can't go to heaven without that righteous robe. And that's given by God when people accept Christ as their personal Savior. And so God does everything in order. You can't go to the presence of God in any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time somebody comes to Jesus, they can then come to the Father, and so on. And God does things in order. He does it the way the Word of God says. He'll never do it any other way. And so He tells us what's going to happen as we get into the last days, which we're in now. And so I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to give a message here today that might shake you up a little bit. It's not original with me, but frankly, I'm tired of seeing people dying and not knowing Christ. I mean, it's terrible if you just think about it. Somebody spends a whole lifetime, whether it's 40 years or whether it's 90 years, and they spend that whole time on this earth totally ignoring God and then expect to go to heaven. I just don't understand. It's not going to happen. In the Word of God, God tells us exactly how to get there. But the sad thing about it is, and I want to talk about this, I was so impressed with this word that we need to get it out. And we need to understand what the Word of God says about this. And I want to make it very clear that what God says here. Now, he's talking about us right now in this age. And I want to go through this chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to see what it says. Now, we beseech you, brethren. Now, he's talking about brethren, he's talking to Christians here. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him. So this is talking about when Jesus Christ, and I don't think it's too far away, is going to come for his church. And by his church, I mean those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm not talking those go to church. I'm talking about those that know Jesus. There's a difference, you understand. And so he says there's going to be a gathering unto Jesus Christ, that you don't be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the day of the Lord is present. The tribulation hasn't started yet. These things are not good, but the tribulation hasn't started yet. That is not happening. It's going to be 10 times worse, 100 times worse than what's going on today. So we have an opportunity today to still teach the truth, preach the truth, and to get the Word of God out. Now look at this in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come basically first the falling away, that the man of sin would be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, this is talking about there's going to be a time when even those nations that were once godly nations are going to start turning from God. And you see that happening. If you go to Europe, you can't hardly find a Christian. It's amazing. And that's where Christianity spread from Europe, spread to our country. And that's why we became a great country, was because of Christianity. And if you study the founding fathers, you will find out that they wanted a unique country whose God would be the Lord. And that was the purpose of this nation. But now we see the nation turning from God. We're passing laws. In fact, we talked about this Friday night. Even in 1957, they started, the Supreme Court made a decision that really made pornography free speech. Now, isn't that interesting? Started all the way back in 1957. And so we've been progressively getting away from God, turning from the Lord, and so forth as a nation. And it says, when that is complete, then the son of perdition, or the Antichrist, is going to come on the scene. Now, the scary part of this whole thing is, and I want you to listen to me carefully, it's possible to reject Christ too many times, and you'll never be able to come to him again. Are you listening to me? It's possible to do that. And some people do that. And that's why you go into the hospital or go into their home where they have hospice and all that stuff, and you read the Bible and you pray for them and you talk to them about Jesus, and they know they're dying, you know they're dying, everybody in the house knows they're dying, and you say, do you want to accept Jesus? And they say, no. Why in the world is that? You'd think anybody in their right mind, anybody that had any sense of life at all would come to Christ when the opportunity arises, particularly when you know that you're going to die. Now, why is that? I'm going to show you why, and I'm going to show you where the Bible says it's possible that you can come to the last time that God's going to draw you to Him. It's possible to reach that place. I really believe in my life, if I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ on that Sunday night in 1970 in the church, if I hadn't accepted Jesus, I would have never been saved. I really believe God had been tugging at me from the time I was a kid. I was in church. I went to a Baptist junior college. I went to a senior college who the president was a Christian, and they had Christian things going on there. It was a public college, but it was they had a Christian president. And God was tugging at me. I watched occasionally Billy Graham on television. God was tugging at me. I watched Christmas programs on TV once a year. God was tugging at me. And I believe after I got saved on that Sunday night, God showed me that was my last chance. That was my last chance. And I wanted to tell you, I didn't go up that aisle until they sang seven stanzas of a song that had eight stanzas. I'm going to tell you, if I hadn't have moved out on the seventh one, I'd have been lost. I praise God they just didn't sing the first two, do I hear an amen? You see, and that's the way it is, because it was number seven before I stepped out of that aisle, and you don't have to come down and accept Jesus, but you have to accept Jesus wherever you're at, you see. Now, I want to show you what this says. There's going to be a time, and I don't think it's far off. It could be 5 years. It could be less. It could be a little more. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it. It's whenever God says, okay, the New Jerusalem's ready. Jesus, go get them. Now, that's what I was talking about last time. It's up to the Father. Jesus doesn't even know. He's working on the New Jerusalem. He's getting it ready. And the day's going to come. It's like in the days of Noah. They worked on that ark for 120 years. Can you imagine? One family building this ark had never rained before. People thought they were crazy. But God had called them to do this. And finally, they put the last few nails in and they were waiting. And God said, now's the time. The day came. And they got those animals in there. They got in there. They got their stuff in there. And God closed the door. I said, God closed the door. Noah didn't close it. God closed that door. And there's a time in people's lives when they cross a line where God closes the door. And we ought to be, giving the Word of God out, we ought to be doing everything we can with our families and people we know and those that aren't in church and even those that are in church and never talk about Jesus. Are you listening to me? You can see you can be religious and lost and religious and go to hell. And we don't want anybody going to hell. It's a terrible place. We don't even know the half of it. And even the way it's described in the Bible, it's a terrible place. Now, let's look in the Scriptures. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, the man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the one that's going to lead this world into hell. He's going to be the Pied Piper of the lost. He is going to bring destruction to those that think that they're okay in their own life because maybe they lived, according to their standards, a good life, but without Christ. It says, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, how in the world could anybody believe that Jesus Christ was an archangel, or Jesus Christ was one of the special angels of God instead of being the Son of God? Who would believe that? Those that have rejected the truth of the Scriptures, that's who believes that stuff. Who comes around, knocks on the doors, Jehovah's Witnesses, and said that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. Who would do such a thing as that? Because these people aren't stupid. These people, some of them are business owners and everything else, and they knock on your door. And you talk to them long enough, they say, oh, Jesus wasn't raised bodily, and Jesus is not the Son of God. Who can believe that kind of stuff but those that have rejected Jesus Christ for the last time? Are you listening to me? Now, let's go on. And it says, verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what restrains that he might be revealed in his time. Well, it's talking about the Holy Spirit restraining the Antichrist. He is alive today, as far as I believe, but he's being restrained. He can't come out yet. He can't come into full bloom as the Pied Piper of the Lost, because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's holding him back. He's not stronger than God, but he's his own God, you understand. And it says, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now hinders will continue to hinder till he be taken out of the way. That means there's going to be a day when the Holy Spirit just stands back and all hell's going to flood into everything. And all these people that rejected Jesus are going to follow this Pied Piper right on to the destruction for eternity in a flame of fire in eternal hell. For the mystery of iniquity, verse 7, does already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Oh, he's gonna be destroyed, but not before he brings destruction to millions of people upon this earth, sadly enough. Now, it says he's going to be revealed, eventually destroyed, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want you to see that. Why are they going to destruction? Why are they going to hell? Why are they following the Antichrist? Why are they in some religious cult? Why are they worshiping and bowing down to statues? Why are they totally addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things like that? Why is it? Because they're bowing down to the one who's not the living God. They're bowing down to the one that Satan brings on the scene. He's the Antichrist. He's the one who's trying to take the place of Christ. He's trying to build his own world without God. We have, unfortunately, in this country, politicians in Washington who's trying to build this country without God, and it's not going to work. I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen. The church has sat down and say, well, I think politics is a messy business. I'm not going to vote. If you're one of them, shame on you, because the issue is we're to be in the middle of this thing and we are to elect those that will turn this country back to the living God. Now, verse 9, even him whose coming is after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and I'm going to tell you all he's doing there is trying to imitate Christ, because Christ brings miracles, Christ brings healings, Christ brings things that are going to build you up and heal you and bless you, but these things are going to be designed to deceive you, and those without Christ will not know the difference. Do I hear an amen? They'll think that's normal. They'll think he's God. They're going to think that he is God. They're going to follow him like he's God. They're going to talk about him like he's God. They're going to watch him on TV and bow down to him as though he's God. But they're all going to end up in the same place he is, lost without Christ and into eternal fire. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That doesn't mean that the signs of God, the powers of God, the miracles of God are not real. Because they draw people to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's the difference. If it's drawing people away from God, it's not God. Are you listening to me? You see, there's a lot of different weird things in this world and signs and wonders. And yes, there's power in the occult. There's power in Satan. There's power in seances. There's power in witchcraft. There's power in all that stuff. But it's all going to be destroyed. But those that are deceived, those that have rejected Christ time after time after time after time, they're going to follow Him like He's the Messiah. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Now, let's go on. Verse 10, with all deceivableness, unrighteousness, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There it is right there. They didn't receive the love of the truth, of the Scriptures, of the Bible. They made up their own religion. They made up their own gods. They made up their own plan to heaven. They made up their own way to stay out of hell. And they're going to follow the wrong one because they didn't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now that's the issue. And for this God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. You say, is there a point where God gives up? Yes, there is. It's very clear in the Scriptures. Some people, can somebody get saved on their deathbed? Yes. Where is the line? I don't know. I don't think it's the same in everybody's life. I don't know why it's different in one than it is in another. But it says here that God will send them delusion that they won't be able to make a decision for Him because they have spit on Christ too many times. You see. And that's what they did on the cross. They spit on Him. They beat Him and everything else. So I'm going to tell you this. They're only going to do that one time. Are you listening to me? He's only going to the cross once. He's not going to keep on going. He went one time for all. And if they don't receive what the Word of God says, they're lost forever. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they would believe the lie. What's the lie? Oh, I think I've got more good in my life than bad, so I'm going to be okay. That's a lie of the devil. Are you listening to me? I'm okay because I was baptized way back there sometime. I don't even remember who did it. I was baptized back there. That's a lie, you see. I was baptized as a baby. That's a lie. It's not going to get you into heaven. You might have been baptized, but you weren't saved, I'll tell you, in the name of Jesus. Now, there's all kinds of lies. I've been going to church for 50 years, so I'm going to be okay. Not so, according to the Scriptures, if you do not know Jesus Christ. People reject Jesus in every way you can possibly imagine. When I went to a Baptist junior college to go to school, they used to have revival services, and I was with two or three guys. We'd make fun of the whole thing. I'll tell you, we got a loving God. We got a loving God. If he'd have wanted to, he could have closed the door on my life right there. Because he's God. That could have been it. That could have been the last chance. But he allowed me some more chances. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm going to tell you, when you realize what God's done for you, you can't stay out of church and telling people how wonderful He is. Are you listening to me? That's the issue. Because what has He done? Oh, my. What God let us get by with, you see, before we called upon Him. And it says that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And if you can have pleasure in unrighteousness without any guilt whatsoever, you're not saved. Are you listening to me? We ought to tell the truth here. Amen? We ought to tell it like it is. And I always say, you know, once you're saved, that's an eternal thing, and that's right. But the problem is there's a lot of people running around think they're saved when they're not. And the only thing awaiting them is eternal hell. Let's go to Romans chapter, let's see, what chapter is it? Well, let me find it. Romans chapter 1. I don't know how I could forget that. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, that God states it again in another way. And I hope that I'm shaking you up enough this morning that you're not going to let your relatives get by without knowing about Jesus Christ. They may reject Him, but you're going to make sure they get the truth, you see. We're not going to be ashamed. We stand before the Lord and we have told them the truth. I'm going to tell you this. He's not going to ask anybody if they're Lutheran or Catholic or Baptist or any of that stuff. He is going to say, what about my son? What about my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what He's going to ask. All that other stuff's not going to mean anything. It's not going to be mentioned. There's not going to be a little place up there for Baptists and another little place for Pentecostals or any of that kind of stuff. We're going to be in one body, hallelujah, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but here's one of the most scary verses in the Bible, in my opinion, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but they reject the truth. They have heard about Jesus, but they rejected Jesus. Somebody invited them to church, but they refused to go. Somebody wanted them to watch a Christian TV program, but they turned it to something else. And they know the truth. They know there's a God, but they're rejecting Him. They're going to take a chance with their life that they're going to be okay. Because that which may be known of God, verse 19, Romans 1, known of God is manifested in them. For God has shown it unto them, for the invisible things of the world, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal God, power and Godhead, so that without excuse. You watch the corn grow and you watch it develop and bear fruit, and you're going to have to say, there's a God. You have to be pretty far gone to say that was an accident. Are you listening to me? I don't care if they're college professors, bank presidents, street persons, whoever it is. You look at nature, you see the trees, you see the seasons, you see the stars, and you see all these things, and you say, there's a God, and I want to know who He is. I remember one time when I was, I was probably in my 30s, and one night I was outside and looked up, and the stars were just beautiful. It was clear, it was dark, stars all over the place, and I knew in my heart there was a God. I knew in my heart there was a God. And I looked up there and said, God, I wanted to know You. It was a few years later. But God answered that prayer. You see. And that's all it takes. God, I want to know You. And God will reveal Himself. God will have somebody come to you. God will turn on a program. God will have you open the Bible. God will reveal it to you. All you have to do is say, God, I want to know You. And that's what people have to do, you see. But then people say, well, they pray to God the Father, or they pray to some angels, or they pray to this and that, but they never talk about Jesus. They never talk about the cross of Calvary, and they've missed it because that's the truth of the gospel. The gospel's about Jesus, you see, not about all these other things. And it says, and this is a sad thing, verse 21, because they knew God. They knew there was a God. They glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's like you go to see a play or something, and the curtain closes, and it's over. Are you listening to me? That's possible in somebody's life. God said, okay, that's enough. You've crossed the line. That's enough rejection. You've refused me long enough. I'm closing the curtain. Hallelujah, and He does. And you wonder then why people get into all the vile stuff, the awful stuff, good people. They might be in Congress. They might be lawyers. They might be doctors, whoever they are. And they might be preachers, and they fall, and they fall, and they fall. Either into sexual sin or something else, and you say, why is it possible? I'm telling you why. God closed the curtain. They crossed the line. I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about unbelievers. There are unbelievers preaching in churches. I know for that for a fact. And the issue is, I'm not picking on anybody or anything else. I'm just telling you there are unbelievers on TV. There's unbelievers in other things. And that's why you see these movie stars so messed up. They've rejected God. They're going to have fun for a moment. They're going to have fun for a time. You see that in rock stars, and they're making millions of dollars, and they die when they're 26. They die when they're 30. And why? The door's shut. The curtain's closed. It's all over. And they go to be to eternal hell. And so God makes it very clear here, their foolish heart was darkened. They're going to, even if they live to 50 and they're dying and somebody comes in, you need to accept Jesus. And they say, I can't accept Jesus Christ. And that's true. They can't. They've crossed the line, you see. It says, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, creeping things. And I've talked about this before. But that means pride in man, and pride in this, and pride in what you do, and pride in what you can do, and pride in what you've done, and all this stuff. And you get in, that's your God. Or you get involved in worshiping man, or you're worshiping idols, or you're in cults, or you're, how can 300 or whatever it was people, maybe it was 900, I don't remember, the Jim Jones thing, drink the Kool-Aid because they're following a devil instead of God. They rejected the truth of the Scriptures, and they'll follow anybody that they think is going to give them some kind of hope. And their hope was they died in the jungles, down there rotting in the sun without God. Are you listening to me? And they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into the image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them up. God gave them up. All these people go to church on Sunday and live like the devil during the week. God gave them up. You see. And it goes on. It's not over. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, and dishonor their own bodies between themselves. How in the world can you take two of your daughters in the back of a cab and shoot them to death? God gave him up. That's exactly why. He rejected the truth of the living God. How can you kill somebody and bury them out someplace and just keep on killing? God gave them up. That's why they can do those kind of things. No conscience whatsoever, because they have rejected the living God, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, verse 25, and worship and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, That's lesbianism, burning and lust for one another, homosexuality, men with men working that which is unseemly. How can they do such a dumb thing? Have you ever seen this gay pride parade stuff? It's absolutely sickening. How can man do that? Because they rejected the living God. That's so they can do anything that man can bring to his imagination. That's why God at the Tower of Babel scattered men all over the earth because he said, they've rejected me, and therefore they can do anything in their imaginations. And he confused their languages and scattered them all over the earth. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why we have all these different languages and tribes and all this stuff. It's because of the judgment of God that you can go so far and you can go so far and you can go so far and you drop off the edge of the cliff because it's over, you see. And that's exactly why it tells the story in Luke 16 and verse 19 where there were two men and both of them died. And one was carried by the angels into heaven and another one died and he was taken down into the earth. But he was still conscious and he was in torment. And he said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, give me a, touch my tongue with water. And Abraham says, I can't come to you. There's a gulf between you and I. There's a wall between you and I. God put it there. I couldn't come across if I wanted to. And then he said, well, go tell my brothers. Have somebody go from the dead and tell my brothers about Jesus Christ. And he said, if they don't believe the Bible, they'll not believe it if somebody came from the dead. And incidentally, the Antichrist is supposedly going to die and come back to life. And I don't know if that's just a fake thing or what it is, but anyway, people are going to follow him, but they're not going to follow Jesus, you see. And though the issue is, it's Christ or nothing. Pilate said, what's truth? And the answer was right in front of him. Jesus Christ is the truth, you see. That's truth. Jesus is the truth. And that's why we preach, and that's why we come, and that's why we worship, and that's why we do what we do, because of that. And without Christ, there's destruction, there's hell, there's fire, there's eternal judgment and damnation. And separation. The sad thing about this, some of these things is, a person dies, he dies lost. And I've not even got anybody in mind. I'm just, a person dies, she or he dies lost. And the family thinks, well, I'm just going to join them one of these days. You're not going to join them. In hell, everybody's separated from everybody else. You will never see them again. You see. Adrian Rogers told a story. Said there was an old preacher preaching in this church down south, and the church he was in had a balcony, and people would sit up in the balcony, and some would sit down here. And he was preaching one night, and he looked up in that balcony, and he saw a young man that they'd been praying for a long time. And he said, oh, praise God, maybe this is going to be the night that he comes to Christ. Maybe this is going to be the night that he gets saved. And so he's preaching, and he's preaching, and he's preaching, and they come to the end, and they're singing the invitation songs. And the old preacher looks up in the balcony, and he sees this young man. This is a true story. He sees this young man, and the young man's got his songbook there, and he's singing with everybody else. And just, all of a sudden, he just kind of puts the songbook back, and he takes a step out in the aisle. But then he stepped back in the pew, picked up the songbook, and he kept singing. But they just kept singing and kept singing and kept singing, and a boy, he put down that songbook, stepped out in the aisle. Preacher once again thought, man, he's going to come. But then he stepped back again, took up the songbook, and just kept singing. And then finally, he stepped out in the aisle and he took some more steps. And the old preacher said, I believe he's going to come to the Lord. Hallelujah. But he kept on walking and went right out the back door of that church and never came back. And a few months later, he got a call that young boy was in the hospital. He had some disease that doctors couldn't cure, and he was dying. So the old preacher went to the hospital. And he brought his Bible, and he prayed for this young man, and he gave him the gospel, and he said, would you like to receive Christ? And that young man said, I can't. I've crossed over the line. I pray that there's not anybody here who's not saved and has crossed over the line. Let's stand before the Lord.